May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is from the gospel reading, which includes this parable. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, Son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. This is our text. You may be seated. The preaching and the baptism of John the Baptist was a ministry of repentance. John was preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah who would forgive the people of their sins. Many came out to John in the wilderness, tax collectors, prostitutes, soldiers, Pharisees, fishermen, normal everyday people. Some of them confessed their sins and repented and received John's baptism. Others were just there for the show or to put on a display of their own self-righteousness. They saw no need in themselves for repentance, no need in themselves to show forth that sort of humility. They were just looking down their noses at those who were penitent. They were not interested. And so these are the ones who, in our gospel reading today, are those who hear this question of Jesus about the ministry of John the Baptist, whether it was from God or from man, and refuse to answer. For they knew they had a problem. They knew that John was from God. They knew that John's ministry was from God, but they didn't like it. And they feared the people. So in an attempt to save face, they simply tell Jesus, we don't know. Now that response may have made Jesus' disciples angry, but it didn't make Jesus angry. Jesus didn't want to leave these priests and elders in their sin, in their hypocrisy, in their lost state. He has no pleasure in the death of anyone, but invites them and all people back to him to receive absolution, to receive life. So he poses this parable to them. He invites them to think about their situation in a different light. So there are two sons. The first son was initially uninterested in the invitation to go and work in the vineyard. Apparently, he's happy doing whatever it is he's doing right now. He's content with his life, doesn't see any need for change. Yet later, has a change of mind and accepts the invitation of his father. The second son initially seems eager to please his father, at least by all outward appearances, and with his gracious reply to his father, Sir, I go. Yet ultimately rejects the invitation through his action, through his inaction. Who are these sons? The first son represents those who initially rejected the call to repentance and faith in Jesus. Consider the tax collectors and the prostitutes, but later had their minds and hearts changed. They repented. They believed. Their lives were transformed. The fruits of repentance, we call this, they shone forth in good works. The second son represents those who showed off their religiosity, pretending to look like God's children, saying all the right things, but not repenting of their sin, not believing the message of John the Baptist or of Jesus, not bearing the fruits of repentance and faith in their lives. And what of us? Most of us, I would argue, fall somewhere in between these two extremes. But we have to remember here that Jesus is not condemning the Pharisees and the elders and the religious leaders to death and damnation. In fact, this parable is a call to repentance for them and for us. Though they are not yet in the vineyard working for God the Father, they still have a chance to have their minds transformed and changed by Jesus. For until one dies, there is the opportunity to graciously hear God's call to repent and put one's faith in Christ alone. As we heard what our Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. The people that Jesus was speaking to had a chance yet to turn and to live. And so do all those who you know in your life who are not yet in the Lord's vineyard. There is still time. Whether they initially said yes or said no to the Father, there is time that by the power of God's Holy Spirit, they would heed the invitation of the Father, coming to him in repentance and faith in Jesus, and finding themselves in the vineyard of God's holy church. Perhaps we would do well to consider a third son, a son whose combination of words and deeds are not mentioned in Jesus' parable, a son who both says yes to his Father and does the will of his Father, the Son of God. When the Father created mankind, he knew very well what would happen. He knew that Adam and Eve would rebel in the garden. They initially said yes to God, but then decided to reject the will of the Father and turn instead to the will of Satan and of their own sinful flesh. The Son of God knew in advance that he would be called on to keep the will of his Father, unlike Adam and Eve, and unlike us, and that the will of his Father would be that he die for the sins of the world, the sins of the people that he had created. Jesus said yes to his Father's will and did it. He came into a world that had been ruined by sin, by the sin of Adam and Eve, by the sin of you and of me. He came in order to die, to forgive you for all the times that you have said no to God and for all the times that you have said yes but not followed through. As St. Paul writes, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. This Son of his Father was perfect in all things. And so for us, Jesus is our Redeemer, our Savior, our justifier, and he becomes the pattern for the Christian life. Whether you are one that at some point said no to the Father's will, or at some point said yes and then wandered away, he is your Messiah. You are now patterned after Christ as one who says yes and as one who does yes, as one who is in the vineyard through faith in Christ alone. And how does one work in this vineyard? One repents. One has faith in Jesus. One bears the fruits of repentance and faith. One looks to renounce the sinful things of this world and grab ever more firmly to the things of God. That is, you simply do what Christians do. We all know that the Spirit is willing, but that the flesh is weak. We know that with the mouth we will say, yes, Lord, I go. With the mouth we will utter the Ten Commandments. With the mouth we will recite the Creed. And yet sometimes our actions will turn out to be a big fat no. No, I really don't feel like being a Christian today. I would rather do whatever. And then the thunder of the law rings in our ears, and God calls us again and again and again to repentance so that we would again receive the absolution, have our minds changed by the power of the Holy Spirit working through his word, and seek out the things of God. Those who live lives of repentance and faith We are in the vineyard, in God's kingdom. And that pattern of repentance and faith is just the pattern of our entire lives. This is what our lives look like in this veil of tears until our Lord calls us home. Then in eternity, the only answer we will ever give to our Lord will be yes. And at the resurrection of the dead, our words and our wills and our actions will all be the same. They will all be yes. They will all be aligned perfectly with the will of our Heavenly Father. Sin will be no more, with its nagging desire to say one thing and do another, with its constant pull to follow the things of this world, to pattern our lives after something other than Christ. In eternity, repentance will be unnecessary, and faith in Jesus will give way to sight as we see him face to face in all his glory. But while we remain in these earthly tents, these bodies and wills and minds corrupted by sin, may we continue to be present in God's vineyard in this life, his holy church. It is here that God turns our no's into yes. It is here that we are schooled in his word. It is here where we are nourished with his sacrament, the very body and blood of Jesus, food and drink that sustains us, that is indeed the medicine of immortality. Here we learn that despite our errant ways, God says yes to us in Jesus. And here we learn how we have become his people and how we are to be his people. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.